everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. That's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the good people at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. Conference is coming up the week of the 20th, this month, September 2023. I'll be there. A lot of people will be there. It'll be a great class. Damon Swade is going to be doing an all-day kind of masterclass. I don't think it's too late to sign up, so go check it out, pnwa.org. Returning guest, Holly James. Yeah. She, Deja Glitch is her new book. She's a lot of fun to have her, had her on for her debut novel, got her back for this one. And it's good to have people back. I like that. I like to see where they're going, what they're doing with themselves. If you don't remember, Holly holds a PhD in psychology. Yeah. And has worked in both academia and tech industry. And she loves telling stories with big hearts and a touch of magic, which she has done. But she's got some surprises in store for her fans. She's going a slightly different direction maybe in the future. We talked about that just a little bit. Ah, good conversation. Love to talk to people more than once. It's a lot of fun. So I'm glad I get to share that conversation with you now. Enjoy. All right, she's back. Holly James is back with book number two. Holly, welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. Good to see your busy woman writing. Okay, we're going to, you know, some of our listeners may remember, but we're going to bring you everyone up to speed a little bit. You received a PhD in psychology once upon a time.
I did, yes.
Yes. Now, and I would say, I think it's not a terrible thing to get if you want to be a writer, particularly if you want to write about relationships. I don't know if psychology actually teaches you anything about relationships, but maybe it does. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. I think the value of that degree is kind of twofold in my writing career. First, I think going through a really rigorous and difficult PhD program kind of thickened my skin to a lot of things. And it's no secret that the publishing industry is very challenging and can be difficult, and you face a lot of rejection. And I think having gone through that to some extent in an academic setting, you know, with peer review publication and just how hard it is to earn a PhD, I think that kind of prepared me, helped prepare me a little bit to face the challenges of the publishing industry. But also, it's funny that you mentioned psychology degree helping write about relationships, because I'm finding that to be very, very true for my third book.
Really?
I know we're here to talk about my second book, but my third book is also another romantic comedy, and I'm in the middle, not in the middle, hopefully towards the end of revisions on it at this point, and I've actually had to dig really deeply into what I know about, what I learned about, you know, relationships and kind of like even like attachment theory. I almost got a textbook one day because it was helpful to think of it on that level, to dive into the characters that deeply. So I never really thought I would use my degree in that sense, but turns out it has been kind of useful.
Well, I'm glad to see all that time and money you spent wasn't totally useless. I mean,
not at all.
Because you work in the tech industry now, that's your day job, and you write romantic comedies by day. You are a modest tech industry worker,
scientist,
and at night
yeah.
you are a secretive novelist. But, you know, but it's not nothing, because, I mean, getting a PhD is like a whole thing. I mean, it's no small, and to then not turn around and have your name hanging on a door to see, I mean, did you have a speciality? There has to be some sort of focus of your PhD, it's not just be psychology in general, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I actually specifically studied, well, my degree's in psychological sciences with an emphasis in health psychology. So okay. I looked at, specifically looked at stress physiology. Actually, I studied acute stress response, so like the flight or fight response. Okay. You probably heard of.
Yeah.
And I looked at all of that in the context of social media use, actually. So
Oh
it gets narrower
no.
and narrower, very, very specific.
Oh no. Is social media killing us?
I mean, of course. But all that is to say, I mean, any PhD is going to be incredibly specific. You know, your
Yeah,
topic area, like your
gotta be.
dissertation's on something that is of interest to, you know, like five other people in the whole world.
Right.
What I really took from that training is the skill set that I have, the ability to design and conduct rigorous research, and that's what I've taken out into my day job career. So I no longer specifically study stress physiology, but I design and conduct research studies for a living in various contexts.
When I think of psychology, it seems to me that if you were to part of, the core of human nature is, I think, motivation. In other words, we know we're doing things. Why? How do we stop doing things? How can we do, like, how do we, like, why are we doing what we're doing is a big, challenge we all face in our lives. And psychology looks at that, I know, from different angles. And that seems incredibly relevant to writing because motivation, your characters aren't robots. They are reacting to their motivation, to their needs. So that seems like a lot of crossover there.
Definitely, there is for sure there, and I think the more books that I write, the more I think about that. I don't know, this might sound weird, but I'm a pantser, right? So I make up a story as I go along. I don't
Gotcha.
plot. And a lot of times someone will tell me something about one of my books, like, oh, this, you know, this came across a certain way, or you made these decisions because of X, Y, and Z. And my reaction is kind of like, I did.
Yeah.
like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't consciously intentional, but I think at least perhaps on some subconscious level, I am basing those kinds of decisions in what I know about human behavior and emotions and connections and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, I think, but as I'm writing more and more, I'm more intentionally conscious of that, I guess I should say. Yeah.
If you're what we call a pantser, people, the difference. One people like plots it out, some people just find it as they go. One of the things, and I don't write fiction anymore, but I certainly just figure I don't know really what my stories are about, even though they're things that happen to me until I write them. So I've learned it as I go too. You have to be so open to the to inspiration, to be to being surprised, to and also I should
Absolutely.
say, given the kind of books you have written so far, an element that might be called, for lack of a better word, magic. In other words, how did that happen? How did I write that? Where did that come? Oh my God, that detail I put in chapter one is just what I needed for chapter seven. Right? So you really have to be open to that. And it's the opposite of research and study. It's like, talk to me, muse, talk to me. Yeah, you've got a little bit of
Yeah.
that going on.
Definitely, yeah. I think Sorry, I'm starting too many thoughts at the same time. I think
It's okay.
I do experience that a lot. I love what you just described. I love it so much when you kind of discover something in, you know, chapter 10 that just was perfectly set up by something in chapter 2 and it wasn't intentional, but it's just this, oh yeah, it feels so good. But yeah, I think I am very open to allowing the story to come to me, and that seems like that would be difficult for me because I like logic and structure and control over things, but I think I spend so much time in that area of thinking and cognition during my day job that when I'm creating, I feel okay about letting it go and just kind of letting it
Interesting.
happen and kind of just trusting the process. I know this sounds very kind of weird and intangible, but that is
Oh, this is
kind of my
writing.
experience. Yeah,
This is
that is my
writing.
experience that I'm very open to, like, huh, where's this gonna go? And then something happens or the characters will do something that surprises me and I kind of just roll with it. And I love that so much. And that fascinates me just endlessly. Like, it almost feels like these fictional people are making decisions and crafting their own story, but it's coming out of my head at the same time.
It's
That's just so cool to me. Just the
it
way that
is,
the
and I
human
think
mind works is so cool.
it's well, it's great. It really comes to you. I think of my mind more like a antenna than a thing that creates. I mean, you can look at it however you want. I know, but to me, it's I'm like tuning it to the right frequency, and I get something. I never feel like it comes from me, but it comes to me. That would be if I had to describe it accurately, that's how it feels.
Yeah, that's a great description. Yeah, like you're kind of just the way I feel sometimes is like I'm just like the scribe for
That's
this
right.
thing that exists that I kind of
Yeah.
stumbled upon, and I'm putting it onto the page.
Oh, that's the right relationship. That is the correct relationship to writing, I think. And so you write, you've written two romantic comedies. Is the third also in that same, is it? Are you Brant, or are
It
you
is,
going
yeah.
totally different? Okay.
Yeah, so well, that's a great question. My third book with this same publisher that will come out next summer is another romantic comedy. But in the interim here, I've actually sold another book in a different genre to a different publisher. I know
Jesus,
it hasn't been
Holly.
announced yet. It hasn't been announced yet, so I don't know how much I can say about it, but I just yeah, I got an
Wow.
idea back in the dark, dreary days of winter. Earlier this year, I was just kind of feeling bummed out about everything and wanted to find some joy somewhere, and I got an idea for this really quirky story and ended up writing it and selling it. When did it sell? Sold in early August, so it's really recent. Hopefully
Wow.
the deal announcement will come out soon. But yeah, so now
Different
I'm on
genre,
the
different. Is it a relationship thing? Is it a suspenseful thing? What is
kind
it?
of it's actually yes to both of those. It's so I joke that my kind of toxic trait as a writer is I'll write something and send it to my agent and say I don't know what genre this is, like good
Oh,
luck,
they just what they love to
I
hear.
know, but she's amazing, she'll figure it out, and she's so good at writing like the perfect pitch to describe something. But that book is I think we ended up calling it a suspense comedy. So it's very
We
much
that's
in the vein of like a action romantic dramedy
yeah,
thing.
in film, I'm used to seeing that in film. That's
Yes,
not an unusual thing at
exactly.
all, but less so in books. I have to say,
Exactly.
I've just come across very few, but why not?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar to the Finley Donovan series.
Not
The
familiar.
Finley Oh, it's so good. It's a really fun series. I think she's on book the fourth one comes out in January, but it's a story. The basic premise of that it's about an author who she's like a single mom author, and she is one day meeting with her agent to pitch her next book idea. And the idea is about a contract killer, like a hit woman, essentially. And someone in the cafe overhears and thinks she is a hit woman, and then hires her to take out her husband.
This is
And
not
so,
this is the Finley
no.
Donovan. This is
This
not
is Finley
yours.
Donovan. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Look at
But
you
this is.
selling someone
It's
else's book on
similar.
our
No, but
interview.
that, yeah, I think that series is the closest comparison to what mine is
Okay.
like. So it's that very much like kind of dark comedy, a little like screwball comedy in some
Right, but
places,
with some danger in it.
but in some danger.
Well, you're very funny. I follow you on social media. Well, I followed you on what used to be called Twitter, and now I'm
Oh
becoming
man.
increasingly disillusioned by
I
it.
know,
And
me too.
I really enjoyed your feed. I think it's a lot of fun. But I will say, romantic comedy is one of my favorite genres. And I happen to think it's one of the hardest to pull off successfully and not have it just be a formula. Like it just like I love it when it works, and I am so disappointed when it doesn't. So if you had to give someone advice about how to write a romantic comedy,
Oh gosh.
because you it's particularly, well, there's a lot of them made, a lot of them written, a lot of them
Yeah.
made, and I think a lot of them just for me fall flat, but I really want them to work, because I
Yeah.
so love them.
It's that's yeah, that's I actually had just had this thought in the past couple of days. Again, I said I'm working through the revisions of my third book right now. And I realized how hard it is, how when the plot of the story, the majority of the plot of the story is these people's relationship. It's so hard. It's such a
Yeah.
challenge to make that
Because
engaging.
nothing's
And also,
happening. Like this. It's just people, like in the typical, like you can't, will they get together becomes the main action, kind of, right? But it's
yes.
not like there's no mystery to solve. No one's trying to kill anybody. No one's trying to throw a ring into a crack of doom. It's just a relationship.
Yes. And that's the deeper I get into writing and crafting those stories, I realize how challenging it is to pull that off. And I think, gosh, I don't know if I have any good advice, but I think I like to throw in things that are kind of unexpected. So at least I wouldn't. So my first novel, Nothing But the Truth, I wouldn't really call that one a romantic comedy. It's more women's fiction kind of. There's
Sure, but it's
a romantic subplot,
humorous
but
in places.
yeah, it is. But The Deja Glitch is very much a romantic comedy, and then my third book is as well. And I, for The Deja Glitch in particular, I don't know. I guess I always try to think of like a different angle into a story that we've heard
Right.
before, kind of like
Right.
how can I make this compelling and engaging and
Right.
kind of turn a trope on its head. So for this one, that's why I haven't summarized the book at all yet. But the book is about it's a couple in LA, strangers in LA who we actually find out are not strangers, but at first glance they're strangers. And they're stuck in a 24-hour time loop and they have to fall in love to break out of it. But the catch is Jack, our hero, can remember the entire time loop, and Gemma, the main character, feels like every day is the first day that they've met. So basically he has a single day to get her to fall in love with him. And I didn't intend for it to be a time loop story. That just kind of came out of it
Okay, so that
organically.
was my first question because I was like, oh, she's found her thing. She does magical romantic
Yeah,
holidays, but
no,
no,
it
no.
wasn't on purpose. So the original hook idea for this story was I wanted to write a story about a couple where one person couldn't remember the other person in a funny way. I just thought that that would be funny to explore.
Right,
Like, if the
sure.
love of your life came up to you and you had no idea who they were, like, what would happen? How would that play out? And then I started thinking about like, why can't she remember? What happened to make her lose her memories? And I've told this story many times, but I wrote this in the summer of 2021, and during that summer, the song "Deja Vu" by Olivia Rodrigo was incredibly popular. And I remember hearing it one day, and I truly had this light bulb moment of like, ah, deja vu, that's perfect. So Gemma, our main character, can, you know, it's that sense of familiarity, but not really knowing why something is familiar. Like, I've been here before, I've sensed this, but I don't really know why. So those two ideas kind of merged, this couple where one person couldn't remember, and but she had this sense of familiarity. And then I thought of like, why are these things familiar to her? Well, maybe she has been here before. Maybe she's in a time loop and doesn't remember it. So that's where it came from.
I love this story for a couple of reasons. One, I like that you have the, I assume you have experienced deja vu at some point in your life, right?
Sure,
Of
yeah.
course, right? And so this way you get to have something that you have gone through to serve as an emotional reference point, right? So you're kind of like, what if I was like, what if it felt like that for 24 hours straight? Or like you can, so, but you have something you've gone through that is, that mirrors that. So that must have been helpful for you.
Yeah, I think I keep meaning to look up the psychological research on deja vu, because I
I'll bet it's
remember the
inconclusive. I'm
phenomenon.
going
Well,
to
yeah.
get you, right?
I want to say though, I don't want to like quote it wrong, but I want to say I remember learning in a class once that it's something that like your sensory processes are recognizing something before the memory is triggered. And it's like the misalignment of those two things happening that makes you think this is, maybe it's the other way around. Something. There's some timing in your brain of perceiving
Okay.
something and remembering something that
Right.
are just slightly off kilter that makes you feel like this has already happened to me before, but I don't know why and
Well,
can't
it's
remember why.
disorienting because you know what's coming. There's a weird, like when I've
Yeah.
gone through it, if it's really like and like a long one, it's like,
Yeah.
oh, and then yes, that
And
and
then this
that
is going
and
to
that and
happen.
that.
Yeah. You can see the
Yeah, I think
future.
it's I like it. I like it. But what I also like about that, and I hope our listeners were paying attention, is it's is I always tell my students, your job is to ask questions. The writer's job is actually to have questions and let the answers come. So your main job is to have questions you're interested in. And when you ask one question, you get an answer, and then it makes you want to ask another question, and then another. But your main job is asking questions. Like that's the most important role. And that's what you were describing finding the story was question, answer, question, answer, question. It may seem sort of, it may seem obvious to you, but writers are really more curious than they are knowledgeable. Is that fair?
I think so. Yeah. No, that's totally fair, 'cause I, like I said, I got the idea for the hook of this story and I just wanted to see what would happen. You know, if we put these people in this context, how
Right.
would the story play out? And that's how I ended up writing this whole story.
So
Yeah.
you got interested. It's so
So
important.
yeah, I think back to your question from like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. You're still
if
thinking
I
about
have
that
if I
romantic
if
comedy thing, aren't
I
you?
if I have any advice for people trying to write
Yeah.
romantic comedies. Yeah. So where I was going with this whole tangent was I wanted to, so once I got the idea for the time loop, I thought, you know, that's been done so many times. We've seen so many
Right.
like films and books about
Sure.
time loops. So I wanted to kind of invert it and make it different, make it unique. So that's what I did, is I took that time loop convention and told the story from the perspective of the person who doesn't know she's in a time loop. And we only actually see a single day of the loop in the book. So that's one of my favorite reactions from readers is they're like, oh, this is so unexpected. I was thinking it was going to be Groundhog's Day and we'd see
Right,
the same day
sure.
over and over, but
Right.
we actually don't. We only see the single day, a single day of the loop because it's from the perspective of the person who feels like this has never happened before.
Right.
So I think, yeah, my advice would be if you're trying to write a romantic comedy, find some kind of, I don't know, unique little quirk that could make it a little bit different. And I think too that at least for me when I'm reading any kind of romance, if there are stakes beyond just the relationship, that makes it a
There
little
has
more
to be.
engaging
There
as
has to
well.
be.
Yeah,
There
because
has
I
to
feel
be.
like you said earlier, sometimes you can read the whole book and it's like nothing happened. Like, yeah, they got together, but nothing else happened.
Yeah.
And I just as a reader myself, I enjoy when there's some kind of goal they're trying to achieve outside of just their relationship.
Usually it's like, I think about it's interesting. My wife and I have a very, very romantic story, sort of how we came together. And like I met her when I was 17, and but then she had to go leave, she had to move away, and I really sort of like dreamt of her for years and years. And we got together, well, years and
Aww.
years, ended up being 7, but when you're that young, it's a big deal. And we
Yeah.
talked about the 7 years apart, and we both agreed, like, thank goodness we had those. So there was a sense like we weren't ready to be together, but when
Yeah.
we actually met, and life kindly separated us until we had grown, we were still only 25, but still we had gone through enough that we were ready to be together. And I think about that when I think about the relationship stories. I do think characters have to grow to be able to be together. Like that seems like the best. Like, what do they have to understand? What do they have to let go of? What do they have to in order to allow the relationship to happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a huge part of it. And yeah, I think there's so much kind of self-discovery and like a personal journey built into
Absolutely.
romances as well.
Because you're married. Yeah, I believe from our last conversation.
I am, yeah, actually tomorrow is our 4-year anniversary.
Hey, congratulations, you
Oh, thank
little
you.
puppy. You still okay? That's good. That's good. But I assume you had a boyfriend or two prior to your husband.
yeah.
Yeah, well, this is life. And so, you think about, I think about the girlfriends I had in between when I met Jen and when we married. And it was sort of like each one was screwy for its own. Not that there was anything wrong with women, but just the relationships weren't working. And it was kind of, I still feel like you got to let yourself be with someone who's actually easy to be with instead of someone who is your father or someone who, you're trying to impress. Or does that make sense? Like you're trying to be with the wrong reason.
No, I think, yeah, looking back on past relationships, I can definitely see like, well, that didn't work for this reason. And now having a relationship that does work
Yes.
makes you see why all the other ones didn't necessarily work out. Yeah.
And all the drama around relationships not working, and it's just because it's just like you're wearing a pair of shoes that doesn't fit in a way, right? Now, do you let your husband read the books before you send them to the agent? Or does he not?
No, I mean he would if I asked him to, but I feel like I'm to the point where I'm comfortable not having, I don't know, I trust my agents and my editors enough to kind of be the first eyes on
But
something.
is he a fan of your work? He doesn't, by
Oh,
the way,
totally, yeah.
he is, because my wife doesn't read my stuff. Not really. So she doesn't know, but he is, if he likes your, he's a fan of Holly James.
Yeah, he is back when we were in graduate school before I was signed with an agent. I used to read my stories to him.
Ah,
That was how
nice.
I worked up the nerve to, like, if we were on like a road trip or something, I would be an audiobook and
Oh,
read
you would?
out
Really?
loud. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So this is book number two. It came out August 1st, you said? Was it August 1st was the pub date?
Yes.
All right. So
Yep.
it's been out a month. Have you had a chance? So the first book would have come out just after, kind of after COVID was wrapping up, kind of, right? Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of
It
wrapping.
was July of 22, so
Yeah,
yeah,
so it
last
was
summer.
okay. So it was done pretty much in the so did you get to go out on the road for that book at all?
For my first book, I had an in-person book launch, yeah. But that was
That was it.
it.
Okay. Well, yeah, because of D David. And did you do a little more t of that kind of stuff for this book?
I did, yeah, it's been really fun. I actually had two in-person events where I got to
What was,
sign books and meet
yeah.
readers, and
What do you think?
yeah,
What'd you
it's
think of that?
great. It's really fun. So the first one was actually up in the LA area. So I live in San Diego, and so I drove up to LA for this event, and I was late because I got stuck in traffic. Shocking, driving through LA. And I'm still, I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that people like care about my books and want to meet
I
me and,
know.
and talk
I
to me.
know.
That just feels so surreal. So I got there, like I was, I don't know, 45 minutes late by the time I got there. And there was like this small group of people wait holding my books in
Still
their hands,
waiting. Still
waiting for,
waiting.
yeah, waiting for me to sign. And I was like, oh, this is so nice. So that event was really great. That was actually a book festival that a couple local authors had put together for local romance writers. It was really, really fun. It was a three day event at a Barnes and Noble up in Valencia, which is north of LA.
Yep, Valencia, yep.
And then I had my own launch the weekend after my book came out at there's a romance specific bookstore down here in San Diego called Meet Cute Bookshop. And it's so cute. It's so cute. And they hosted my launch event, which was really, really fun. I had another great crowd there. Yeah, otherwise I've been doing the podcast circuit. And
Yeah, good.
yeah, I got to write some publicity pieces and yeah, it's been fun.
So
Fun this
you're
time
still
around.
enjoying being a writer?
I am. Yeah, it's I think I'm becoming more aware of kind of the ups and downs of the industry and the challenges that are just things that are out of my control that I have to learn to just kind of roll with it because there's really nothing I can do about it. But at the same time, it's always just so thrilling to see, you know, to see my book in print. I mean, I'm staring at it, it's right here next to me, to see it to
It's
see it, you
awesome.
know, it's a physical thing. And like I just got the cover for my third book, and it's yeah, it's great to see it all kind of come to fruition and be out in the world.
And if the price was right, would you ever imagine a future where you get up every day, just leave your pajamas on and go to work in this
I
way?
do that every day.
Or you do that anyway? Oh, you're
I
totally
still work from home.
homebound. Oh, so
No,
really, you never went back to the office.
I go to my office one day a week, but no, that was a joke. I do get dressed every day.
You want to write
But
a living. Would you do it if it was feasible?
yeah, that's I get asked that all the time, and I think if it were a financial possibility, it would be really hard to say no to that. But I also think that I would miss my day job. I think because I went through such a like it took me so much to earn the skill set that I have and earn my degree and you know and work my way up in the industry that I work in. I think there's part of me that really kind of wants to see that through too, you know, to see and a huge part of it too is just using that part of my brain, you know, the whole logical analytical side of my life is something that I really, really enjoy. And I kind of need that stimulation as well as the creative side. So I really do think without one, the other would kind of suffer. Like if I was only creative, it wouldn't be enough. And if I was only science, it wouldn't be enough. So right now I'm still able to maintain the balance between the two. But I don't know. I mean, if I, you know, got a seven-figure book deal tomorrow, it might change my answer.
These things might get made into a Netflix movie. It's that
That
easily happening.
too.
All right, listen, people, if you don't, are you on Threads? Did you pop over to Threads? I
Yeah, I'm trying it. It's pretty slow, but I'm giving
yeah.
it a try.
Well, I encourage you to follow Holly on social media. I don't know. I don't do the TikTok really, or
Neither.
I'm on Instagram, but I don't know if you're doing that. But anyway, I follow you on Twitter. I really enjoy it, or X, whatever the hell it is now.
X.
I encourage the rest of you to do so. It's a lot of fun. And get out there and buy Deja Glitch. You will not regret it. But Holly, see, I like asking this question, even though I asked it to you before, because it changes. The answer to this question changes. So this time, today, in 2023, if writing has taught you anything, it's taught you what?
Oh gosh, what did I say last
I have
time?
no idea.
I think I said patience. I said patience last
Okay,
time.
good.
Patience with myself and patience with the process. This time, if writing has taught me anything, I think still patience, but also kind of the notion of like find your people, like find the group of either other writers or other creatives or whoever that will help support you through this journey because there are a lot of ups and downs. And it's great to kind of have other people in the same, going through the same process who can really validate your emotions and your experiences. And also it's great to have kind of a sounding board, you know, if you have an idea or something and you just want to ask, like, is this nuts? You'll have those people who you can trust who will tell you the truth and be honest with you.
I
And I
like
think that's true for life in general, but I found that's really, really valuable in a writing career to have that group you can rely on for so many things.
I agree. I agree. And people could do worse than to have you as a part of that group. That,
Oh, thanks.
Ollie, congratulations on book number two and three and four. And perhaps we will chat again.
Let's hope. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I like that. I like find your people because that's kind of what this show's about a little bit. I mean, I understand I'm talking to people mostly who write, not all, but mostly who write. And, you know, we're going through something specific, somewhat unique. And sometimes you got to talk to other writers to remind yourself you're not crazy. Okay. Thank my producer. I want to thank my producer, RJ Jeffries. Thank you, my friend. And I want to thank all of you out there for listening. Go find your people. You know how to find your people? You know how to find people who love what you love. They're out there. They're out there. Go find them. Go to a conference. Go to a book club. Go to a bookstore. I don't know. Go find your people. Go find something you love to do and do it.